рано стояла, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, циганочка молода. Один циган п'яне гуляє, один циган п'яне гуляє, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, циганочка молода. Циганку свою поглядає, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, циганочка молода. Ой, циганку, яке тебе горе, ой, циганку, яке тебе горе, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, циганочка молода. Синеє море, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, циганочка молода. Ой, на горі цигани стояли, ой, на горі цигани стояли, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, циганочка молода. Циганочка молода, циганочка молода. Ой, на горі цигани стояли, ой, на горі цигани стояли, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, циганочка молода.
From Winnipeg, Manitoba, that was the young group called Molodtsi from their most recent CD, Ukrainian Dance Melodies 2, and a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Oi Nahori, On the Hill a Gypsy Stood. Вітаю вас всі, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос». Говорить Павіна Макворі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною. Ми маємо дуже цікаві новини на сьогоднішній програмі. Hello there, and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette McCory, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have a packed program for you. We've got Sylvia Molnar coming up with her usual Ukrainian food flair. She'll be talking about spinach. And we have a special feature by Keith Perron on the role that amateur radio had in breaking the news of Chernobyl to the world some 26 years ago. As well, he has Ukrainian News Outlook and a rather startling story about bomb blasts in Ukraine, and as well, speculation on whether Ukraine is ready to host UEFA. And we also have an interview with Vancouver filmmaker Julia Ivanova, and she and her brother produced a film called A Family Portrait in Black and White. And this film will be screening in Vancouver in a couple of weeks' time, but we do have a couple of pairs of tickets to give away to lucky listeners in Vancouver. So Vancouver listeners, get your dialing fingers handy. And that'll be coming up right after the interview for Vancouver listeners. As well, our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. Coming up next is Millennia from Edmonton from their brand new CD, Bratya, and Av Nedelyu Rano on Sunday morning.
Не сходить, козик молоденький по казармі ходить, козик молоденький по казармі ходить, козик молоденький по казармі ходить, свого командира додому сі просить, свого командира додому. Звісно, дівчинойка, набрати водиці.
Розвивається на вітрі та густиночка, ой, хороша і згаду всі буде жіночка.
Буде жіночка, буде жіночка, і згаду всі буде жіночка. Буде жіночка, буде жіночка, і згаду всі буде жіночка.
Усі хлопці до гаду всі залетяються, ще й жонаті на гаду всі задивляються.
Задивляються, задивляються, на гаду всі задивляються. Задивляються, задивляються, на гаду всі задивляються.
And that was Toot E Tom from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. That's from their most recent CD. And it's self-titled Toot E Tom, the white one. And that song was Volynyanochka, the girl from Volyn. Well, after three polkas in a row, you probably worked up a bit of an appetite. So here's Sylvia.
And now, Ukrainian food flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. I'm a huge fan of spinach. It's probably one of my most favorite vegetables. I eat it both raw and cooked. Most Ukrainians probably love spinach too, because they sure have many ways of preparing spinach. Spinach, like apples, celery, black beans, jalapenos, and low-fat milk, salmon, and cottage cheese, are foods that boost our ability to burn calories or fill us with fiber to curb cravings and keep pounds at bay. So eat your spinach. Now get your pans ready, as I have a wonderful recipe tonight for delicious spinach patties. You'll need 2 cups cooked spinach, 2 tablespoons grated onion that's been drained, 2 tablespoons butter, 1 egg, 1 tablespoon thick cream, 1 cup fresh or soft breadcrumbs, salt and pepper. And for the coating, you'll need breadcrumbs, fine, 1 egg, slightly beaten, and butter for frying. I use fresh breadcrumbs so that the patties remain juicy, not dry. Squeeze the spinach so it's dry and chop very fine. Cook the grated onion in the butter until very soft. Then add the egg, cream, breadcrumbs, and seasoning to the spinach and blend well. Rest for 8 to 10 minutes. Shape the mixture into small patties. Dip the patties in fine breadcrumbs, the slightly beaten egg that's been diluted with 2 tablespoons of water, and again in the breadcrumbs. Pan fry in hot butter until delicately brown on both sides. These are great with tomato or mushroom sauce. Try it. It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
The world was changed for good that day, and we were just an element. The victims of an accident or nuclear experiment. Our occupiers played a god that none of them believed in, and gave us all the devil, but no choice, we had to breed him. The hammer banged, raised fallout dust, the sickle of uranium. Poisoned lands and rivers, Belarusian and Ukrainian. These symbols now mean more than ideology that failed. They spell the Soviet sin that to this very day prevails. Chernobyl, there was a time when you could breathe. Chernobyl, you also had a history. Chernobyl, born in 1193. Chernobyl, did scripture say it was to be? Their sickness lives in old and young, in children also blameless. A parting gift from a regime whose second name was Shameless. There's something I can't understand, this crime was so severe. Yet he who tried to hide it is a man now most revered. The sheep from Wales and Norway then got too sick to ignore. It seems for world opinion that their illness counted more than all the wrongs the Red Star brought to many eastern nations. Yet somehow it's still cool for some to guard its reputation. Chernobyl, there was a time when you could breathe. Chernobyl, you also had a history. Chernobyl, born in 1193. Chernobyl, did scripture say it was to be? They read deluded diatribe by so-called expert thinkers in cafe bars in Islington, then preach to normal drinkers. A blind eye to the crimes of one, but we're all taught the other. Swastika, hammer, sickle, had the same bitch for a mother. Try Molotov and Ribbentrop in 1939. They planned to share out Europe, that was once upon a time. But 25 years ago was born Forbidden Zone. It's still today for some poor souls a poisoned place called home. Chernobyl, there was a time when you could breathe. Chernobyl, you also had a history. Chernobyl, born in 1193. Chernobyl, did scripture say it was to be?
That was an original composition by Britain's Stepan Pasichnik and Chernobyl. Up next is a special report that Keith Perron brings us regarding the role that amateur radio played in bringing the news of Chernobyl to the world.
At the end of April 1986, Jonathan Marks, host of Media Network on Radio Netherlands Worldwide, along with many thousands of people around the world, had no idea at what happened in Ukraine. People living in the Netherlands were celebrating Queen's Day. Jonathan tuned to Radio Moscow and Radio Kiev, but they didn't give many details either. We now take a listen to a piece Jonathan did on Media Network about the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. This was originally broadcast on the 2nd of May, 1986, on Radio Netherlands.
The Soviet government reports an accident at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant in the Ukraine, resulting in damage to one of the plant's nuclear reactors. Measures are being taken to deal with the aftermath of the accident and to help those affected.
Radio Kiev, much closer to the stricken reactor site, said exactly the same thing on Monday. Only during Tuesday afternoon did the event start to get described as a disaster. Bearing in mind that the reactor accident happened on Saturday, one wonders if radiation had not been detected in Sweden and Finland, whether the Soviet media would have reported the problem at all. As news of the disaster became apparent, we turned to the amateur radio bands, namely 20 and 40 metres, to see whether ham radio might be used for emergency calls. Amateur radio operators in the Ukraine use call signs to identify themselves, beginning with UB5, UT5, UY5 or UZ5. We checked with the Dutch National Amateur Radio Society and the Radio Society of Great Britain to find out whether any emergency calls from the stricken area have been received. Two listeners in Western Europe, one in Denmark, the other here in Holland, claimed to have heard Soviet amateurs at different times describing the disaster. But these conversations haven't been heard by anyone else. Signals from amateurs in the Ukraine are being well heard at the moment, but the topics of conversation are limited to the usual amateur radio jargon. It's very unusual for it to be anything else. Pat Gowan is the European coordinator for the amateur radio satellite organisation AMSAT and regularly in touch with Soviet amateurs. As Pat's also involved in a number of propagation experiments, we asked him whether the Soviet nuclear disaster could affect the ionosphere and therefore radio conditions.
I wouldn't have thought it would have gone up as far as the ionosphere. It would take an enormous heat plume to take it up even to about 30 or 40 miles, Jonathan. Certainly, if the radiation level is very, very high indeed, you could certainly get ionization and local high noise levels, but I can't see a plume going up to, 300 kilometres. Well, we thought that we could hear higher noise level and effects following some of the big H tests which they had at Bikini Atoll and things like this. Mm-hmm. But probably these were due to magnetic disturbances and the sort of long-term effects of the EMP. Enormous quantities of earth and water vapour were chucked up very high mm-hmm. with the heat. Well, I don't think you'd have had this. It's a scale, nothing like this.
No.
I think you could almost definitely say there would be no effects, Jonathan.
That piece was produced and presented by Jonathan Marks and originally aired on Media Network on Radio Netherlands Worldwide on the 2nd of May, 1986.
And special thanks to Keith Perron for preparing that special report on Chernobyl for Nash Holos. And Keith is my co-host on the weekly program Media Network Plus, which airs on XM Sirius Satellite Radio on Channel 120 in North America, Saturdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Up next is Taras Petrenenko from Ukraine with his original composition on this same theme. The song is called Chernobylska Zona.
Чекався таки врешті-решт. повідного сходу. Білокровий наш страх, чорнокровий наш сміх, ані спасу нема, ні заслону. За який же такий незамолений гріх ти війшла в нашу слухняно крокуєм, мов Богом забуті навіки. Каліки, рукотворна біда чернівецьких дітей і лахміття земного озону. Чи скінчить
Ukrainian News Outlook.
Coming up, Ukraine gets shaken by two bombs officials are calling a terrorist attack. And is Ukraine really ready to host international events like UEFA? I'm Keith Parent. A new challenge for the Ukrainian nation. That's how President Viktor Yanukovych has described several explosions in the city of Dnipropetrovsk. More than two dozen people were injured by the first blast near a tram stop in the city center. A police spokesman, Alexei Shavatov, described what happened.
According to preliminary information, a device exploded in a rubbish bin at a tram stop at the moment when the tram was leaving. There were no people at the stop, only people inside the tram were injured. Glass was broken during the explosion. The number of people who were wounded was between 3 and 5.
The second explosion occurred shortly after at a cinema. Frederick Dove of the BBC World Service talked to the BBC correspondent in Ukraine, David Stern. This was recorded Friday at 14:15 GMT.
The latest is that the injury toll is at 27. That can always rise. 9 children were among the injured. There, as you said, there are 4 blasts, all within about an hour around midday. Now, the Ukrainian authorities have labeled this as a terrorist attack, but they have not assigned any motives, nor has anyone claimed responsibility for this. And as you say, the president, Viktor Yanukovych, has called it a challenge to the country, and that the government will respond adequately, although he hasn't specified what exactly that will be.
What's been the public reaction? I mean, this presumably came right out of the blue.
Indeed, there is the reaction so far is shock. We'll see what happens as time goes on. But it must be said that the situation in the country right now, the political atmosphere is tense. It's a heightened atmosphere because of the ongoing prosecutions against the former prime minister Yulia Tymoshenko. She's currently in jail on charges of abuse of power. She got a 7-year jail sentence, and now. Tomorrow, another trial resumes on charges of tax evasion, and she could get another 12 years in prison.
But do people see a link between these explosions and what's happened to Yulia Tymoshenko?
Well, it's difficult to say what exactly is going on. People are linking it, as you would expect. Members of the opposition have, in fact, said that this is an attempt by the government to distract the population from the Tymoshenko trials, which have created a great stir both inside Ukraine and outside. The Western governments have criticized the Yanukovych government for these prosecutions. But it should be said that there is no evidence so far that the government has anything to do with that, or for that matter, anybody else has. There is nothing has emerged to indicate what exactly these 4 blasts were trying to achieve.
That was the BBC's Frederick Dove speaking to their correspondent in Ukraine, David Stern, recorded Friday at 14:15 GMT. Is Ukraine ready to host an international event like UEFA? Well, this is a question many people are asking after reports started coming out that criminal gangs are involved in raising hotel prices tenfold. Unlike Poland, which is co-hosting the event, much of Ukraine's infrastructure is still behind. Alexandra Molokolop has the details.
In less than 60 days, the 2012 European Football Championship kicks off. Ukraine is administering its last rites. Being previously attacked by the European football officials regarding the preparation progress, the last UEFA president Michel Platini's visit to Ukraine left no misgivings about Ukraine to challenge the tournament.
Ukraine starts a great way. We demand perfection in Euro's organization. Appraising the present-day situation, we can say with confidence that even if not everything is perfect, it is approaching perfection.
However, the visible signs show Ukraine's unavailability to host the event up to the mark. Suspended airports, stadiums built in a slipshod way, worn-down roads and overrated hotel prices, together with lack of cheap and middle-class hotels, rather show the country's thirst for a fast buck. Economists say that, unlike expected, the country has spent about $14 billion for Euro 2012 preparations, with minimum foreign and Ukrainian investors' money infusion.
Euro 2012 simply shows that if you would like to invite investors to get as much money as possible, definitely certain preconditions are to be in place. So in this case, Ukraine unfortunately failed to make really expected reforms expected by the foreign businesses, and it's a kind of price, of course, negative price for not reforming the country.
Foreign fans' accommodation seems to be bit off more than the country can chew. Unexpectedly, soccer fans are to face the highest accommodation costs, from $100 for a shabby room up to $5,000 for a luxury hotel apartment. Yulia is the newcomer on the hostels market. She realizes that while rigging the market, Ukraine may end up with nothing. Therefore, she is willing to keep up the fair price for a bed. Inflated prices and lack of cheap hostels in the city center impulsed us to create the accommodation space for an equitable price, which for European fans is about 30 euros. Experts predict that the championship won't get any substantial benefits to the country. Moreover, with the vacant hotels and half-empty stadiums, even very optimistic prognoses show that the income may be five times lower. Some are sure that Euro 2012 is coming to Ukraine to boost the country's image, infrastructure and economy, while others say the country's authorities have their spending priorities all wrong. The question is whether it will be the opportunity of a lifetime or the inexperienced country will give up the chance to demonstrate its legendary hospitality. Alexandra Molotkova, Kyiv.
And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Ukraine News Outlook. I'm Keith Parent.
Ой, гарна я гарна, як та я гордиця. Ой, гарна я гарна, як та я гордиця. Наймися уступить, гей, гай, наймися уступить, гей, гай, наймися уступить, спуля парадниця, спугутя парадниця, з поля робітниця, спугутя парадниця, з поля робітниця. Ой, я така гарна, гей, гай, ой, я така гарна, гей, гай, ой, я така гарна, як в небі зірниця. Хлопці йшли, гей, гай, як за мном хлопці йшли, гей, гай, як за мном шли хлопці, як весняні хмари, як за мном хлопці йшли, гей, гай, як за мном хлопці йшли, гей, гай, за мном шли хлопці, як за мном шли хлопці, як весняні хмари.
And that was BC's own Boris Sihon, who resides in Mission, BC. And it's from the soundtrack of a documentary film that will be screening in Vancouver at Denman Cinemas in just a couple of weeks' time. And that film is called A Family Portrait in Black and White. The director of the movie is Julia Ivanova. She's also Vancouver-based. And we got a chance to talk with her a week or so ago. And here is part of the conversation that we had. Julia Ivanova is the director of a documentary film coming to Vancouver May 11th at the Denman Cinema. Julia was initially trained at the Russian Film Institute, VGIK, in Moscow. In 1995, she immigrated to Canada to concentrate on writing, directing, and producing documentaries.
Her films have won awards galore. Her film, A Family Portrait in Black and White, tells the story of a Ukrainian woman who fosters black children. It will be screening in Vancouver at Denman Cinema from May 11th to 17th. Julia joins us now to give us a sneak preview of the film and the story behind it. Thanks so much for joining us, Julia.
Thank you for having me.
Now, what prompted you to choose this topic for A Family Portrait in Black and White?
This film is about a very universal topic. It's the topic of acceptance, the topic of minorities. And also, in a big way, it's a film about confrontation between teenagers and their mother. So I think it is something that almost everyone can relate to. The reason for the huge success of this film internationally, because it played more film festivals on a world level this year than any other Canadian documentary.
Wow.
The reason for this was the very complex figure of the mother in the center of the film. She is an extreme woman, so she sometimes is very loving, and she does a great thing. She actually fosters mixed-race children in the country where mixed-race citizens are not seen as equals. But on the other hand, she is very controlling, and she doesn't take into account the opinions of her children when they're choosing their future.
How did you find Olya?
That was an interesting story because I was making a film. It was on CBC News World. It was called Moscow Freestyle. And it was a film about Canadian and American guys who like to live in other countries and teach English and drink beer and date beautiful women. And when I was making this film in Moscow, I saw an article about this woman and the photographs. And for many, many years before, I wanted to make a film about mixed-race citizens of Eastern Europe because they are very invisible minority, not in a direct way because they are very visible, but there are no books about them, no films, no acknowledgement of their existence. So I was looking for the story that would allow me to explore this topic. As an immigrant, I often feel that I'm a minority. As an artist, I feel that I'm a minority. And as a compassionate human being, I believe I am a compassionate person. So the topic of minorities is something that is very dear to me. And they are ultimate minority because these children, they didn't know their fathers. They have absolutely no idea what Africa is. For them, it's completely foreign land. But the neighbors and people in the streets, they look at them and they see them as not 100% Ukrainian because they have a different skin color. And quite often I find it unfair, but the children find it exhausting because every single person in any argument can call them a black ass. And that would be the final argument. And that happens all the time. So if you make a film about children, it's much easier to change the view of the audience, I think, because children are angels, right? So that's why I wanted to make a film through the story of the children.
So tell us the story of Olga and her family.
Okay, so the film shows the story of, I would say, the most unusual family in Eastern Europe, because there is one mother and she is very Soviet person, like personality is very Soviet. And she fosters 17 mixed-race children. And many people would ask, how come we didn't know that there are mixed-race people in Eastern Europe? But students from Africa and Middle East, they come to Ukraine and to Russia to study because the level of education is quite high. And it's more affordable than to go to the West to study. So mostly, of course, the students are guys, men, young men, and they have relations with local girls. And their parents, they send them to Ukraine not to have relations with the girls, but to study. So quite often they are even afraid to tell their parents that they fathered a child. And the child becomes an inconvenience for everybody, because for the girl to keep a child, it's a huge stigma. So many of them, if not the majority, are left at birth at the orphanages. So what Olga did, she went to many orphanages and collected many of these children, and she ended up having 17. And for 3 years, we went to this small village where they live, and they have a house that was bought for them by a British charity, Hopes and Homes for Children. And we started to film how they live. But what is interesting is that these children, in summer, they go to Italy and France as summer child. And that was a program that started after Chernobyl. And I know some people in British Columbia who do bring children from Ukraine for summer. And the families here in British Columbia who do it, and I'm actually making a film about one of these families that ended up adopting the child that they brought as a summer child. But what happens is someone from Ukraine brings a child or children from Ukraine here, and then the child lives with you for a month, and then the child goes back. So that's what is a summer hosting program. And it is not for the children in my film, because the children in my film, they go to Italy and France, but other children come, and it is always a success. And then another thing in this film, which is very important, of course, is that one of the boys was taken away from her because he has learning disability. And despite the fact that he is very bright, he's just dyslexic, he is placed in an institution where he doesn't behave well, and he's sent to mental institution where he is tortured. Of course, I came there with a completely different idea. I thought that Olga is a saint person who saves the children, and in a way she is, but over these 3 years of children turning into teenagers, and Olga is never changing any of her parenting style and any of her world opinions. So I managed to film the parent who might be loving, but who might be intolerable, who might be very difficult. And actually, I believe that as a parent, we have to take into consideration our children's views and what they want of this life. And even if we disagree, we cannot shut it down. Mm-hmm. But she does it all the time. So the film has lots of ups and downs, I would say. Many people who would come to the movie, they will think she's a saint. And I would say it depends where you grew up, how you were raised. Like in Korea, when we were showing this film at the festival, everybody thought that she's a saint. In the West, the parenting style is very different than hers. So here people, I would say, are more critical. But I wouldn't want to show the film that would be about childhood and would be depressing. It has tons of funny, loving, emotional moments that are lovely. So what does she do for these children? First of all, and the main thing, she gave them the family. They didn't grow up in the institution, in the orphanage. And this is the main thing, because whether the family is a little bit dysfunctional or seriously dysfunctional, it is still a family. Second thing that she does is she protects them. She is a feisty woman. So whenever any of her children is, called a bad name, she would try to defend the child. Also, because they live in a family, they learn normal things. What else does she do? She feeds them, but basically the main thing what she does, she sacrifices her life to give an opportunity of normal life for these children. The way she sees it. So we might disagree with many things she does. I cannot agree that she doesn't allow international adoption. But I don't think actually that she doesn't believe that it's good if the children would be adopted. But she thinks that they have a family. So she sees it the same way as you and me. Someone comes to you and says, well, I have a big mansion, I have better life, give me your child. So that's how she sees it. That's what I think. She is an interesting person. Through the 3 years of filming, she was refusing to answer many questions that I continuously kept trying to ask her. So, for example, she never said why she takes black children. But I have my guess. I have my guess why she did. And one reason is she retired when she was 42 because she worked at a chemical factory. And it was a time when Soviet Union collapsed And then she was a young, energetic woman, and she loved children, and she needed something to do in her life. So she started to foster children. And when you take a child from the orphanage in Eastern Europe, there is a huge risk that the mother was drinking during pregnancy. And, of course, when it is a mixed-race child, the reason why the child is abandoned is absolutely not because the mother is drinking. Of course not. It's a completely different reason. It's racism. So, from the part of the society. So, that's why I think she started to take mixed-race children, because she knew they would be, let's say, normal. And the other thing is, she doesn't have any racism in herself. Absolutely zero. So I think that's why she was taking black children.
Hmm.
The film wasn't shown in Ukraine, and this is an aspect that I wanted to touch upon, because there were several reasons. One reason is Olga, from the very beginning, told me she doesn't want it to be shown in Ukraine, because you never know what kind of consequences it could have. Hmm. She is not perfect in the film. The authorities might remove the children. Or the skinheads might learn where the children live, she thinks, and they are active in Ukraine. Skinheads do exist. They are in the film, and they share their wisdom with us. So she didn't want it. I would say that filmmakers, we do have responsibility. Like recently, I was thinking about it because I'm making a film about adoption. A Zurich couple adopted 5 children, and there was one scene, and I was standing with a camera, and I didn't film it. And I knew that I could just push a button and film it. But you have a responsibility to calculate what the film will do to the people who allowed you in their lives. Then we have the film in Vancouver, in Denman Cinema, May 11th, 17th. It's downtown. It's at 4 p.m. And then we will have it in Winnipeg in the beginning of June. So we will see how the community will respond. I know for sure that they would love the music. And this music is performed by Boris Tikhon. And Boris Tikhon is a composer and musician here in Mission. And his daughter. And his daughter, she is 8, and she sings in the most amazing way. And those songs are Ukrainian folk songs and the songs that were composed and created by his daughters, Rivka and Natasha. So I hope Ukrainians will like it, but it will be very difficult for them to accept certain things. Because when we don't live in a country, we have an idealistic picture of the country. And in this film, you can see that Ukraine is not a welcoming place for black citizens. And this is a reality. Ukraine is still a great place, but it has racism and nationalism. It does. I would say to less degree than Russia, and I'm from Russia. And another thing is, Olga is such a controversial person that some people would not like her, that she is from Ukraine, but other people would love her because what she does, no one can. She actually became a mother to 17 children.
Mm-hmm. Besides the screening, where can people get your films? They're available now for sale on DVD?
Most of them are, and you can go to Interfilm Productions, to www.interfilm.ca, and there you will see the films that we made, and most of them are available through Amazon and through other engines.
You live in Vancouver, so are you going to be at the screening? Will people be able to meet you?
I would love to meet the people at the screenings. I will come to the screening of Family Portraits in Black and White on Mother's Day. And we have 4 tickets to give away for your listeners. So please come and at all the festivals, from Bermuda to Korea to Canary Islands, we had always very interesting Q&As.
Okay, wonderful Mother's Day gift for listeners then. Super. Well, thank you so much, Julia. It's been a pleasure, and looking forward to talking to you again in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paulette. Thank you.
Dream my heart, traveler.
make it shine in the night. I just wish that all my dreams will come true. Dreamers, travelers, take my hand and lead me, for every feeling in my soul is hidden. Dreamers, travelers, welcome to my song. Melodies dance gracefully
Another number from the soundtrack of A Family Portrait in Black and White. It is it was called Dreamers Travelers, and the composer was Boris Sikhon. The lyrics by his daughter, Nathalie Sikhon, and it was sung by Rebecca Sikhon, another daughter. And we'll be bringing you more music by the Sikhon family in the weeks ahead here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. on AM 1320 in Vancouver and online at am1320.com. Elsewhere, Nash Holos airs on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio around the world. Online, you can find us between broadcasts at www.nashholos.com, as well on the Nash Holos page at www.pcjmedia.com and on iTunes, and you can also get us on your mobile phone via the Stitcher app. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Яке знання, таке і поступ буде. And our proverb of the week translates as progress depends on the quality of knowledge. And that brings us to the end of another program here on Nash Holos. To wrap things up, we have the Canadian Rhythm Masters from Winnipeg and the Great Plains Kalameka. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Till next time, до побачення.